Hey folks, thanks for joining us for another Sight Lap as we look ahead to the final round of the Monster Energy Supercross Series here in 2024 in Salt Lake City, Rice-Eccles Stadium. I'm David Pingree, your host, joined by a man who has named himself, I believe in miracles, although I think you might have spelled believe wrong, but that's okay. And I like the nickname somebody gave you on one of our posts, Jay Logic. I love it.
There you go. I should have used that one.
You've been spitting game, you know, the last month or two here with us, and it's been a blast, dude. Stoked to have you. Want to thank our sponsors real quick before we get going. Rock and Turf, Maxxis Tires, and Speed Strap. If you guys need artificial grass, they make really cool mats to change on, put outside your truck, your rig, or whatever. Or they do your whole lawn, football field, whatever you want to do. Check out at Rock and Turf on Instagram. Maxxis Truck Tires, Bicycle Tires. Check those guys out. They make tires for everything. Check out our friends at Maxxis.com and then speedstrap.com. Killer tie downs, toe straps, a lot of stuff coming from those guys. Great company. We're stoked to have them on board. Okay, so let's look at Salt Lake. Our Maxxis Tires weather report, 69 and sunny. It's going to be a nice day. Maybe even
69.
On the
69.
Yo, maybe even a little chilly. Like, that's good. I think at night, I have to look back at the low, but it's like down into the 40s. It's going to be cold.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have too much to deal with the night, though, because they're, what, 5 o'clock they take off? Shouldn't be too bad for them. But plus, I think a lot of people overlook, we're at 4,200 feet right here, 4,600 feet or something. It's another elevation raise.
Yeah, yeah. And they're having kind of lately out here on the west another little blast of winter. They got a ton of powder throughout the mountains. Tahoe, I think they're in Salt Lake as well. And it's been raining all week in Salt Lake City, lots of moisture. And you actually had a chat with somebody at the track crew, right?
Yeah, actually, I talked to Alex, and he said that when they showed up there, this track was muddy and it was a mess from the Monster Jam previously. But when he built the track, he said he was building it almost with like super wet dirt with mud. But once they got the track done, which was already done by the time I talked to him, and he said the sun was already out and baking it, and it wasn't going to be like a muddy race by any means, but this means there's going to be a lot of moisture and the dirt trying to come out, which actually be good for a place like this. You want to be like almost a self-watering track.
So I wonder if – I'm trying to think back to what this dirt is like. I remember it being pretty hard and marbly, but it probably didn't have this much moisture in it. But do you think it'll get hard and baked like a – freaking hard crust on it, or will that moisture kind of seep out and make it kind of soft, spongy, ruddy? What do you think it'll do?
I don't think it'll be like spongy, ruddy. I think it might be a little bit like Birmingham, but if you can't think about this track, think to the COVID residency that we had. You could probably think about that, and that this is Salt Lake, so it'd probably be similar. But he says he's starting with wetter dirt this time. At Salt Lake, man, they were doing, well, during the residency for COVID, they were doing.
It was dusty.
It was dusty. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know what it's going to be like with a ton of moisture in it, with that soil. You know what I mean? It's going to be, it could be hard, really hard pack. I could see it either baking in the sun and getting a really hard pack, or maybe being kind of tacky with ruts coming out of the turns and stuff.
I think we'll actually see like something different here. Like we see a lot of times where they tarp the track and it rains and they pull the tarp off, we get the seams and everybody has ruts and the transitions of the jumps are horrible. I think this is not going to be like that. That's like riders hate that. This is going to be like the jumps will actually be trying to seep out the moisture. So it'll be a little different than something that we saw. I think it'd be more like Birmingham. If I remember, I felt like Birmingham was it was like wet, but not really because it was tarped. It just seemed like it was like an old Indianapolis style wet.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be a little different than what we've seen before. And I want to jump right into our Speed Strap 250 preview because this is a showdown race and lots on the line. Both titles still up in the air. If we start with the East Coast, Tom Vial is up 15 on Deegan. And those are the only two with a shot at this. But we do have Pierce Brown, Cody Shock in a tie right now for third and fourth. Yeah. So there's a battle to watch there. Obviously, Deegan's still in play for the title. Brown and Shock, though, battling for third. I don't know if those guys have a third-place bonus tied into their contract, but it's at least bragging rights, if nothing else. So keep an eye on them. And then even McAdoo, Anstey. McAdoo's 38 down, Anstey's 39 down. So I would imagine Max will pass him and get that fifth spot, because I do not believe McAdoo's riding.
I have like a little breakdown right here for only for the 250 East, and it's about the points. So you got Thomas 15 up on Hayden with two wins each. Tom has 2 seconds and 3/3. So Tom will beat him in the event of them tying up. So for Hayden Deacon to win, he needs Tom to DNF and him to finish sixth, or he needs to win the race and have Tom finish 11th. In third to sixth, it's a four-rider battle with Pierce, Shock, McAdoo, and Anstey. Appears to be a four-rider battle separated by only 3 points, but you can remove Cam with his injury that he picked up at the previous race, and it leaves it only three guys going for the third position overall, with an outside shot at second on the table in the event that any one of these three are able to secure the showdown win in Salt Lake. With a win, any of these three riders claim third. If none of these guys win the main event, Anstey holds a tiebreaker because of his win in Philly. Cam McAdoo actually holds a tiebreaker over the whole group, matching Anstey's one win, but he bests him with 3 seconds. But he's only 1 point ahead of Max and trailing Cody and Pierce. So the tiebreaker for Cam is only relevant if Max finishes 21st with 1 point, but this tiebreaker will probably come into play because in the event of any other points tied with any of the other riders that are within 20 points of Cam, then this means that not only is Anstey certain to move ahead of Cam on Saturday, but the riders in 7th, 8th, and 9th have a real shot at doing so also. So you could see Cam drop all the way to 9th in the final standings. Mm. And then with Pierce and Cody, if Pierce and Cody win this race, they guarantee themselves third place overall. If they win this race and Hayden only scores 1 point, 20th or worse, then they could get second overall. 7th to 9th is another battle full of dudes. It's only 5 points. Dax, Jalik, and Chance. So you got two rookies and Jalik. I think Jalik probably takes this out of the trio and finishes in 7th with a solid ride. But with a great ride, Jalik could elevate himself above the injured McAdoo all the way to 6th. Chance and Dax could go either way, but for Chance to catapult all the way to 6th in this series, that would be a better finish than I expect he can get. Besting Dax for 8th is realistic, and with the recent dominance by Honda in Denver being back at altitude, I can't help but feel like Chance puts in a better ride than Dax and secures 8th. But that said, top 10 for any rookies, great. This championship's got some shit going.
Yeah, the East Coast is wild. And I think Tom Vial's got the momentum. But who knows? We'll see. Deegan could certainly pull something out here.
He pulled last year. He pulled off a 14th here. And, I mean, dude, I named, like, who I looked at all the competition in this. There's about 15 names of guys who he could legitimately get beat by with just a simple crash type thing.
Yeah, this isn't a gimme putt for him. It's a nice, comfortable gap, but he's going to have to do some work. Just put in a solid ride. No big mistakes. Yeah. The West Coast, let's look at that because this one is freaking barn burner. We got Levi Kitchen and RJ Hampshire at a tie for the lead, which, man, dream scenario for a fan. Regardless of who you're pulling for, you throw in the showdown factor. Vial, Deegan, those guys could certainly beat both of them given the right scenario. Although, in my opinion, I think Levi Kitchen right now is the guy. I think if you're laying down money, he's the guy you put it on. And here's why I say that. You know, we didn't know what to expect prior to last weekend in Denver. The dude gets his boot almost knocked off. He's basically wearing a sneaker the entire main event. The ribs are at least have to be sore. I mean, I don't care if you separated them, bruised the tissue, or have a fracture. Like, they're hurting. They're bugging you a little bit to some degree. And my man still kept RJ behind him. And RJ was doing everything he could. I don't care what he says. I mean, you and I both watched all those little mistakes. He was pushing. Yeah. And good on him to keep it on two wheels and you know, not go over the top. But RJ was trying. Don't let him fool you. So, to me, you put two solid boots on Levi Kitchen. Man, I don't know. I just think the momentum's going his way right now. Now, having said that, you dropped a little something on us this week about Nate Thrasher and hit on RJ. And I was kind of like, gosh, it was pretty aggressive. Like, that's so weird. And then we see some chatter this week. And again, we're not a breaking news source. We don't dive into that muck pond. But lots of good talk out there that Mitch has been talking to Nate Thrasher. And maybe there's some motivation for Nate to do a little favor to his potential new boss by blowing a white bike off the track. Now, That's pretty tinfoil hatty, but I'm loving it. I like the tinfoil hats. Usually they end up just being true a few months down the road. So what are you making of this? So Kitchen and Hampshire tied. Smith's 21 back, so he still technically has a mathematical shot, but only 23 back is Shimoda. So again, another 2-point swing between Shimoda and Smith, who are fighting for that third place, which is, again, you know, I'd rather finish third than fourth. So those guys are going to fight for it. Marchbanks is a ways back from those guys, but he's sitting fifth. So what's your take on the West region here?
Well, let me not skip over the fact here with Mitch and what Mitch might be doing. I don't know, but if you guys are, if you're a racer right now and you are fast enough to be up there and cause a problem to his championships, you know, competitor RJ, and you're getting a offer out of the blue from the most notorious best 250 team ever, it might be blowing smoke at you, dude. He might be just getting a free ally right here. But I'll tell you what, I was talking straight out of my butt last week when I said, oh, maybe Mitch is paying him. Maybe Levi is paying him. But I only said that. And then I said, well, if he goes and signs him next year, then maybe he really was. Now, not to say Mitch was actually paying him, but the incentive of feeling like, oh, I'm already part of Mitch's team. Let me do him one solid already. Maybe you don't have more than a letter of intent, bud. And in which case, dang, I think Mitch is just really just, he got you guys right there. He's sitting back laughing up and I don't know, but let's move on to the points. More power to you, Mitch. You know, some guys fell out, and you're still trying to get those two championships. Hopefully he gets them, sells enough pipes to send me one.
So, all right, this is going to be a great championship. Like I said, tie for the lead, 2-point swing between Smith and Shimoda. Throw in the Vial Deegan fight and Pierce Brown and Cody Shock, who really have had – I would say good season, especially Cody, but man, if they could go out with a podium here at this last round at the showdown, that'd be great for them. You got Max Anstey, who recently won a race. Maybe he could be in the mix. There's lots of guys. And Marchbanks, this is a hometown race for him. So he's got a lot of motivation. He's from Utah. So a lot of motivation for him to have a good race. So there's so many storylines going on in this 250 class. This is going to be a great one to watch. We'll get to the 450 class. I think it could be a bit of a snoozer, but this one is going to be worth tuning in for. Get your popcorn and all that, because I'll tell you this. While I think Kitchen has the momentum, if I'm betting, RJ's not going to lay up on this one. He's going to either, you know, cartwheel himself into oblivion, or he's going by, or going to at least take a crack at it, because this is probably his last shot. I think he knows it, or it's the best shot he'll ever get. I know how much it means to him. And like you and I had this conversation, Jason, where I really like Levi Kitchen. I think he's a cool kid. I like his vibe. His style is good, but man, you just feel for RJ. I just relate personally because I tried for 8 years to win one of these stupid, you know, 250 class titles. And, He's actually been in the class longer than I was, and just so fast all the time. He's so close, and it's always injury or just something that takes him out of it. So there's part of me that's rooting for him, but I also really think Levi's probably got the upper hand. What's your take? If you had to lay some points in, how's this podium going to finish up?
Well, dude, the part of me is going for RJ too in this race, and that part of me is my heart. So I'm going with RJ, and I'm thinking, dude, RJ has a chance to flip the whole narrative right here. Like, now you're saying RJ might cartwheel or he might do it, but either way, he's going to go out there and he's not going to short you for effort. 100% you're right, and that's what everybody says, and I feel the same way. Maybe it's time for RJ to go out there and show us that he turned that corner, because if he puts this away and he wins this championship, we're going to look back at it as, damn, he had a very solid season, totally composed. He had one crash, you know, like we're all here, and I'm just as guilty of it as anybody, of judging him on what he's done in the past, you know. And I think Levi, he is above what RJ's limit is. Levi is the best guy in the class, and I think Levi, I don't know what happened with the starts, whatever it was, but if he's getting those good starts, I'd be saying, dude, RJ probably is not going to be able to pull this off. He's going to have to come through him. I think RJ is going to get these starts. He got both the starts last year. at this track. And then last week we noticed that his hole shot device pops up as soon as he comes off the start. So don't count him as he buckled on that start. You know, so I think if he can get in front of him, he's gonna have a really hard time coming through him. But I think those dudes will probably elevate themselves. I'm just really interested to see if the wild cards like Hayden Deegan are up there and play a role in it. You know, because even if those guys are trying to not be in the championship mix, you know how much that little bit, you know, losing a second here, a second, or not even a second, losing a half a second here and there just because you're held up when they're trying to let you go by or whatever they're doing, that's going to really impact the race. But if those guys can get out front and Levi has to come through RJ, it's going to be an opportunity for RJ to exactly like implode or just show us that it's time, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I don't think it will be easy for either one of them to go past the other. I think whoever starts in front has a distinct advantage. I mean, obviously, right? Yeah. But they're that's both it. Hauling ass. And if a pass happens, it's going to be up, you know.
If Levi gets the whole shot, I don't think RJ comes through him. If RJ gets the whole shot, I think Levi, it's going to be a fucking battle is what I think, you know. I don't know. I just think Levi, he looked good enough last week that he's only going to look better this week. Whatever the speculation is on his ribs, anything, if it was hurting him at all, which it looked like it was, it's not going to hurt him as bad this week. That's not good for RJ. His boot's going to be buckled this week. That's not good for
that's,
RJ.
That's not good. Probably a little zip tie or whatever they got to do.
He has like six or seven of these makeshift teammates out there now. Marchbanks, the man child, you know, like what a good guy to recruit, Mitch. He's the biggest dude out there. Like, heck yeah.
Mitch is just hiring. He hires Vince Freeze. He puts him back in the 250 class.
Yeah. Or Juice Lanso. Hey, Juice Lanso, if you got a call that you're going to ride for Mitch next year, it's a hoax, buddy. He just wants help.
All right. Well, it's going to be a great race on that one. Let's bump into the Rock and Turf 450 preview. And look, I got Jet winning this one and walking away and adding some more points to the thing. I just don't see ET hasn't had it. The only guy, in my opinion, that can give him any smoke this weekend is going to be Sexton. I think that even though his brother rode a great race last week, I think Jet was sort of cruising and then could just pass him at will. And even once he got in front of him, he's just cruising. He's just cruising. He's got more speed in the tank if he needs it. If he gets a start, he's gone. If he starts top three, he still makes his way to the front. I just don't see anybody but Sexton having the speed to pressure him. I think Jet probably wants to get that extra win to, you know, pad his numbers for his rookie season. Right now, Webb's 20 back, so still a mathematical shot. But like we talked about earlier, Jet has to basically DNF, and Webb has got to get second in order to, you know, get this done. And that's a whole lot of faith. So I know you believe in miracles. That's a big one.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what, I think if Jet gets a whole shot, he wins this race. Yes. If he doesn't get the whole shot, he doesn't win this race. No way. I don't think, because I think that Jet, this is his time to win the championship. And he's not notoriously bad at this, but he's struggled in the past at Hangtown on his 250. You know, he needed, like when he was going against Justin Cooper, I thought he was outside the top 10 one moto. He had like a way off performance. He couldn't explain it. He won his outdoor championship in a landslide. There was no pressure on that. Now this isn't really much pressure, but he's never really gone out and shown the best Jet when he's in this situation. And sometimes he hasn't.
I got to argue. Can I argue?
Yeah,
LA, SMX last year. He had Ken Roczen on him and riding good. Best I've probably seen Kenny ride all year.
I'll say this. So then he almost got beat right there, right? It was the closest he came to getting beat. That was a lesser Jet than it was at the previous two races. That's why he was closer to getting beat, in my opinion.
Okay.
Like he still might be above these guys, but it's like he backs it down, at least in the past, you know, like he's never really been like you have to go out there and win this race. And he failed that, but he hasn't been in those situations. It's been like, hey, you got to get a 13th at Hangtown to wrap it up. And he gets like an 11, you know, it's kind of like,
Well, So you think he still gets the title, but you don't think he wins it? Or are you going to just hang on to
wagon? If he holds up, no, I'm sorry to say this, but I think Coop is there and he's circulating the track. And when he sees that Jet made it to the main event and he's in there, he did damn near 99% of what he can do. And he's not going to be a factor in this race. Ain't no fucking way.
But yeah, that thumb injury is legit.
What he needs to do is, well, he's clear. He's clear of those other dudes, right? Like, he's clear of third and fourth with the guys who are tied. If he doesn't race, he can't get taken over, right?
I think they're way back. Yeah, they're a whole race back.
Well, you got Anderson is 18 points down on the Chase and Eli battle. So he's going to be stuck in fourth unless one of those dudes doesn't get any points. You know, maybe Eli doesn't show up, or he's going to show up, but maybe he's really hurt. I don't know what happens with that. And he has to finish third in that case. Now, Ken Roczen, he's only 18 points clear of Justin Cooper. Okay, so he needs to get himself like a fourth, and he'll take over Ken Roczen. And then Justin Cooper is only 5 points clear of Bam Bam and Hunter. So with Hunter and Bam Bam being tied, if one of those guys wins the main event, which I'm going to say Hunter wins this main event, dude. But I think Barce is like a podium type guy because I saw a thing. He said he was testing recently, made big gains, and then he showed up to Denver. He did markedly better. And now he's going to Salt Lake, where Denver's not a Bam Bam style track, a hard pack track. So for him to have shown improvements there, I think he might be like a podium type guy. Doesn't know what happens right here, but let's say he pulls one out and he pulls the win in the main event and Justin Cooper is fourth or worse, then he's all the way, he's all the way up to sixth in the points.
Well, I could definitely see Hunter winning. That wouldn't shock me. And what a good time for him to do it too, because Jet would be kind of playing it safe anyway, like you said, playing for the title. If his brother's on one, I mean, he dang near let him go last weekend. He even said something to his dad after. I think I mentioned this. Like, we caught him in a little clip going, I didn't know if I should let him by once I knew we were clear. And his dad's like, nope, you did it. You did it just right.
Hey, he better be careful if Hunter wins. I'm serious.
I agree with you.
I think that's dangerous, dude. Like, they're saying that, yeah, these kids will be maybe the toughest competition for one another coming up. And it's like, dude, you don't want that. You know, like I got into it a little bit before when I was saying like about how he contemplated retirement. Now, I want to say a little bit more about this. What I meant by that is when that happened, when they had moved to America. Okay, so now Hunter is still above Jet in the progression. He's older. Jet's not even pro yet. Once he gets here and he gets hurt. Now he's hurt, but this is at the same time that Jet has just burst on the scene. And you could argue he has resigned to, okay, now Jet has reached the level and is probably better than me. This is why when he's hurt and having these issues, he's actually thinking about like, should I stop racing? Now, what I meant by that was like, that was not stupid, but if he didn't have a brother and wasn't dealing with that and like the inner conflict with that, he wouldn't be thinking about possibly retiring. You know what I mean? So for him to have like taken that fight on in a sense and said like, okay, I'm going to, you know, come back and then still now have a goal of like getting to my brother's level. When he gets there, I don't think Jet is going to be willing to put in that same thing. Like for Hunter to have came back from obviously being so mentally beat down or accepting the situation that he thought about retiring, but then to say, no, you know what, fuck that. I'm going to just keep grinding and I can be as good as Jet. Now, when he does that, if he does that and it's been better than Jet, it's going to take a serious like heart from Jet to want to get back into that fight and try to go against his brother. You know what I mean? It could be dangerous.
I agree with you 100%. And I think this dynamic is weird anyway. I don't think we've ever seen two brothers, you know, the Alessis, the Tedescos, the Volans. You can go back. There was never two that were – there was always one that was better than the other by a pretty significant margin, right? Like one always beat the other one.
Yeah.
This would be the first time you see a guy look like he's going to be the guy, and then Hunter comes up. If he can match him and beat him, that's a weird dynamic. And, like, how that they're a super tight family, which I love, but I don't know, man. I don't know how that doesn't get weird out on the track when you both want to win. And it's like, how hard are you going to bump into each other? You know what I mean?
Dude, I watched the recent interview of his dad talking, and I got to say, dude, I like hating on Jet for the 72 comment that he made, right? And you are not going to hear it from me again. It's straight up, like, I'm off the dude for riding him on that, because what I get from it now is he said that, meaning, like, dude, he's shooting for a fucking high goal, and that's how his dad wants it. And, like, I'm thinking, like, that's so stupid, though, to say that. And then his dad says, well, it's like telling your kid who's never worked a day in his life, oh, don't go get a job, son, because you never worked a day in your life, you know? Like, and then I've read more where Jet says, dude, he even backpedals on it, you know? So it's like a lot of people are hating on him for this. And I'm one of them, but I'm off of it, dude. Unless I hear him say it again, then you got to just understand that this dude does dozens and dozens of interviews, and then they're going to clip this. I don't know. I'm with him. I love the interview. That's inspiring.
I never hated on him for it, because I think when you are winning as much as he is, what are your goals? I mean, he's won every championship he's entered since 21 or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah.
So,
dude, he's won like five straight.
Why would his goals be any less than that? It's like, okay, I've won this title. I've won this. I won that. What's next? I want to win this Supercross title, and then what? And then it's like, all right, how many wins can I get? 72. Let's go. I'm going for it. I might not get there. He wasn't going like, oh, I'm gonna blow that wreck. He was just saying, I'm going after it, and good, like he should, right?
Yeah.
I didn't take it that way, and I know he gets a lot of hate for it, and I think people just like to hate a guy that's winning. Shoot, Ricky took a lot of heat when he was winning everything. Jeremy took heat, you know, for a minute when he was winning stuff. And then people come back around. Reedy, when Chad Reed started winning, I was one of them. I'm like, this guy's cocky, man. He's arrogant. But then he grows on you. You figure out, you know, you start to appreciate how driven and determined he is. And you go, okay, I like this guy. And he figures out the media, when to say things, when not to say it. And Jet's learning that. He's already, I think, he's good, man. Like, when he gets on camera, he knows what to say. He, you know, he typically does a really good job. For a kid his age, came by a beer. But this kid's pretty dialed in an interview. So,
and like, let's be real. We're all, well, not all, like, we're not always doing this, but, like, people are watching him just dying for him to do something dumb and stupid so they can blow it up, you know? And, like, I say, dude, he went through what he went through with Anderson this year when, you know, the San Diego thing, and then the Anaheim too. They all came and booed him. And then at Detroit, he shushed the crowd. Like, at Detroit, that was kind of where I was like, ah, man, I had like a bad taste on Jet. But really, dude, he handled it with grace.
He did.
Do we remember how RC did it? Like, I mean, it was a bigger deal with RC, and we didn't even have social media, but RC made a stink, like, about, like, oh, why is the crowd, you know, treat me like this? I remember it was pretty emotional thing when he, like, took out Travis in the heat race and the crowd booed him. Well, Jet took all this, and we're saying, hey, he took all this, and it didn't affect him because he doesn't care what the fuck we think. It might have affected him, dude. He had a couple bad races after that. You know, it's like, we don't know what he actually dealt with. You know, so I think the dude more than got his whooping for saying what he said. He got it more so. And yeah, everyone's pushing the hate. And at least in that case, I'm off of that wagon. And I'm not hating on him anymore. But that said, buddy, I believe in miracles. And I'm not scared to say that he still has a shot at throwing this one away in grando fashion. And that's why Coop's taking a trip to Salt Lake.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Who do you think gets this ET Sexton tie?
I think it goes to Chase, dude, without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah, same.
Did I even say who I really feel is going to win the main? Because I would say it's going to be Hunter and then Sexton. No, it'll be Hunter and Jet and Sexton. Just like that. But I think this, and I don't think he's going to give it to him. It's going to look like he doesn't even have it for him, because I don't know. I think even if Jet gets the whole shot, he may go and win the race, hands down. if Jet gets the hole shot and anybody's behind him other than Hunter or Chase, they're not passing him. They're the only guys that I think could actually pass him. Sounds weird. It looked like Hunter was maybe holding him up last week, but you give Hunter all this extra confidence. You give Jet all this, like, you're not motivated now to win. You don't really have a reason. You're almost scared of throwing it away, doing too much. You know, like, people are probably telling you not to. The door is open for somebody else. So whether Jet gets a hole shot or doesn't get the hole shot, Hunter is looking prime for this race. I don't know what the Hondas did about the elevation, but I thought it was stupid when we were on Denver and they said, oh, they've made all these massive overhaul changes to the Hondas for the race. And I'm thinking, what fools, you know, like as if I'm no, you know, I'm like, oh, what dummies. And then sure enough, the bike, like, it looked like, result wise, it sure looked great. So they'll have that same thing here. Hunter is the one who can really capitalize from it. Plus, who knows how much Jet wants to give it to him. But Jet, you shouldn't give it to him, but it might be the last time you ever give it to him. Well, not that, but you might regret it.
Yeah, it's that'll be interesting to see what happens. And I think you're right. I think you get Hunter some confidence rolling and start getting him believing he can win.
Yeah.
And to make your summer tough.
A lot of people are saying, well, not a lot of people. There's a few people who side with, oh, yeah, he should have let him by because it would have been good for the Lawrence Brothers brand. And I'm thinking like, hey, that's a small point. That's true. You know, both brothers have won races. This is cool. No, what's good for this brand is when they butt heads and they hate each other. That's what's good for the brand. When they do that, like when they're the two top at the top of the sport, they need to fabricate some big thing and make it seem like they hate each other and sell us shirts, you know, red ones and blue ones.
Everybody's got to pick a side. Yeah. Yeah.
Polarizing, but it works.
Well, I think you're right. I think those are our three guys on the box. I just wouldn't count Chase out. I think he had a couple of crashes last week that knocked him out of it, but that dude is hungry. I think Chase gets this win. I think you can throw both Lawrence boys second and third. I don't know how they'll finish. Jack gets the title. I think that's where we're at, but we'll have to see, man. We're just people.
I think we might get something opinions. Great right here. We've had some good stuff happen at this stadium before in Salt Lake. Like, let's say 2003, it was RC, Ferry, and Reed. Whatever happened, they got into it, and then Reedy just flattened RC and busted his lip right there in the last turn, took him out, and then Mathis got in it. RC was yelling at him. Then in 2009, it was Reed and Bubba going for the championship, and Kyle Chisholm, the lapper, my HBI auto teammate, he accidentally – whatever he did when they were getting a laugh. And who is that guy? He said, 2010, it snowed at this race. Josh Hansen won. I'll just mention that because it's my homie. So it snowed. 2011, Bubba threw away the championship on L&M with that big dog Endo in the whoops. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
threw it away, threw away his title. 2017, Beast Mode had the crazy ride. You know, he came from last to whatever. Just mentioned Beast Mode because it's good. And then 2018, Jason Anderson had to change his front wheel. So, bro, we've seen some action here. We might see something crazy.
All right. Well, let's hope we get something good. And we will be back to break it all down in Riders Meeting on Monday. So be sure you stop by for that. It's going to be our last one of the Supercross series. It's been a hell of a season. And this is our last Sight Lap show for the year. So we are going to do like a video series preview for the Nationals, but we're not going to do them week to week for the summer. We're going to take that off. We'll come back for SMX. Hopefully you'll join us, Jason. It's been a ton of fun having you, man. So come back Monday. See you guys at Riders Meeting. I want to thank our sponsors one more time, Rockin' Turf, Maxxis, and Speedstrap. If you guys are in the need for turf, tires, or tie downs, hit up our guys at Rockin' Turf on Instagram, Maxxis.com, and Speedstrap.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. Jason, thanks. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Hey, thank you. I want to say one more thing, and that's that in the comments, dude, I get a kick out of what the guys write in the comments and going back and forth with you guys. But what I learned is that the Instagram comments are a whole different animal, okay? The Instagram comment guys are guys who do not have enough time to come on YouTube and watch our whole video. So I do not have enough time to comment for those. But the dudes in the YouTube comments, I enjoy it, dude. If you think I'm wrong, I'm probably wrong. So say it. I'll probably glorify you. Show your girl and do whatever. But hit us in the comments.
Yep. Hit us up. Thanks. See you guys. Jason, thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy.
I'll hit you up Sunday. We'll make a plan for then.
All right, cool.
All right, later, man.
Later.